baby, okay. I got your number on my speed dial, baby, okay. If you no pick up, I go read that, baby, okay. My whole life changed since I met you, baby, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a confession to make to Laura.
Oh.
You're just gonna just say her name like that? Aren't you supposed
Absolutely.
To introduce her?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because she needs no introduction,
mm-hmm.
OC.
Mm-hmm.
Some people
yeah.
on this planet
mm.
win.
Okay.
She wins,
yep.
you win.
Yep.
I stay in my lane.
Yeah. That's good, though. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right?
Yeah, that's a skill. It's an actual skill.
It's worked this far.
Yeah, for sure.
That being said, Miss Laura Woods, this is the only time you're going to ever see me control the microphone first.
It feels weird.
It is, and it was given to me by OC when we started the podcast because he was tired of the work.
Yeah, it was too much work.
You're tired.
I didn't
want to
work anymore. Yeah.
This is true, right?
Yeah, true.
So he said, you have to run the podcast,
yeah.
and that is why you heard me start with the fake introduction, because you need no introduction.
Mm. That's great. So, it's a lot of responsibility, isn't it?
It is. I see people that are really good at it,
mm.
you, OC, and I think to myself, I have a long way to go,
mm.
but it's okay.
Practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm. Heavy is the head, though. Where's the crown, Jay?
What you learn is, like, it's just blagging.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in presenting, you're just blagging your way through.
I don't even know what blagging means.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just hope you don't get found out. That's
mm-hmm.
it. Every day you get through the shift, you tick it off, and you're like, whew. And you wake up, and it's a new day.
I mean, that's how I got through games, too. Just don't crow at me.
Exactly.
I can be here next week. I got to pay my rent. That being said, welcome.
Thanks.
To the Jason and OC podcast.
What an honor. This is great. Thanks for having me on.
It's so good to have you here. How do you feel, OC, about this?
I feel incredible, man. Look at Laura. I mean, look at Laura, man. Looking all slim. You got that slim privilege. That's what they call it. They call it slim privilege. You got two privileges working for you right now.
Hey, I have to work hard for the slim. I work hard. It's not a privilege. It's a chore.
Looking
you.
Good. Oh, we are so happy to have you here. How are you feeling? You have officially joined the Jason OC podcast, the NFL show, the entire thing. We got the whole thing going on. It's Laura, Jason, and OC. Now, I'm all the way in third place now.
You put yourself out.
Yeah, it was Jason and OC. I was in second place. Uh-huh. Now it's Laura, Jason, and OC.
Cool.
I'm in third place
that.
Now. But you I'm okay
that?
With that.
I like that too.
Yeah. How do you feel, Laura? How do you feel about this whole situation we got going on?
I feel great. And to be honest, I feel relieved because I cannot explain to you, Agent Jason Bell has been working me for about 5 months on this.
Yep.
Maybe not that long, actually, but a long time. My phone, the first time he called me, he's like, listen, you like, we've known each other for what, 5, 6
yeah,
years, I think?
Yeah, pretty long time.
And I think there's always been an idea in Jason's head that it would be great if we could all work together, da 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 da. And then eventually he's got his way. And to begin with, I was like, wow, can I do that? And then I thought, you just convinced me that everything I said, he was like, nope, tick, tick, tick.
Mm.
So I'm actually, yeah, I'm really excited to be back.
So what Jason probably didn't tell you, right,
yeah.
is the fact that, you know, we had some incredible presenters. We had Mark Chapman.
I thought you meant before me,
yeah,
as
before,
in this
yeah,
season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They all said they couldn't do it.
No. We had Mark Chapman at first.
Yeah.
We had Dan Walker.
Yeah.
But the truth is, for about 5 years now, we've been discussing this exact same
thing. He's giving. Really? He put it out there.
For a long, long
He put it out there.
Wow.
Long, long time. We're like, you know who would be incredible? Laura Woods. 5 years now, and it has finally come to fruition.
Oh,
shout out to Mark
it.
Chapman and Dan Walker, but
yeah,
we got the prize.
And
thank you guys.
What's funny is how it started when we started talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do, Laura and I, live hosting in Wimbledon.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm scared out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling OC, what am I doing?
Yeah,
can't believe they got me doing this. I show up. You had such command. It was chaos. You were cool. We got out there. I was panicking.
Yeah,
you were just smooth. Everything. You did all the heavy lifting. And I thought, this is unbelievable. Because when you have no talent, you have an eye for talent. And
that's
I knew.
Talent, though, Jay,
it's a skill.
It's a skill. It's a skill.
It's a skill. And I was like, this has to happen. Because I won't have to do anything.
I know, that's it. This is what this is all about, isn't it? What you've just said is that you started with the heavy lifting and then you gave it to J-Bell.
Yep.
And then J-Bell's done with it and now it's back onto me, isn't it? So now I've got to look after you. Am I babysitting?
No, you are, you're the general.
I'm the general, I like that. You know what, I'm a control freak, so I will have that. No, but it will be good though.
It'll be great.
That day, I remember that so well because we had a production meeting about it before, and he was really professional, really cool. And I was like, oh my God, it's Jason Bell. And it was like really cool. Then we were pitch side.
You didn't say that. Get out of here.
No, I didn't. I picked up my phone and I Googled Jason Bell.
Jason Bell. This guy.
I didn't. And they were like, it's Nadine's husband. P.S. He plays football. I'm joking.
There's nothing safe.
Nothing sacred. But anyway, it was good, isn't it? It went well.
It went well.
We did a good job.
We did a great job. You did a good job.
I mean,
you did such heavy lifting on the fly.
So you did some NFL stuff before, right?
Yeah.
What was that?
So I actually, the first time I got a break in broadcasting, because I used to do all the dog's body work. I'd be like the runner, which is a production junior. You make all the teas and coffees. And then I learned how to be a producer, and I did all the stuff behind the scenes like these guys are doing today. Mm. And I loved that job. But one of the first roles I got to be able to actually be on camera was in the NFL. And it was for Sky. It was funny. The first live broadcast I ever did was at Wembley Stadium. And I had to go out into the middle of the pitch and introduce Def Leppard, right? Mm. And imagine that, you've never done anything live before. And I was like, oh, can I? No, I can't swear. I won't swear, but you understand how I was feeling, right?
Oh, you can
do
whatever you want.
I was young as well, and I was like, oh, I'm nervous. And we were in a production meeting before, and one of the guys on the production meeting called Paddy Crowley works for Sky in the NFL, right? So he stood there in the production meeting, and we were in the car park of Wembley Stadium. And the producer's saying, this is what's going to happen. Then we're going to go to Laura. She's going to introduce Def Leppard to the crowd and to the TV cameras. And this is going to go out everywhere. And then Paddy held up this bit of paper that he had in front of him. And it just said 80,000, as in 80,000 fans. And I was like, oh, my face dropped. And I was like, why are you doing this to me? Anyway, I went out there. And as I was going out there, every other band's name went through my head. Someone was like, what if you say the wrong band? Why would you say that? And I went out there, and then I just remember I literally had the microphone and I was like, hello, Wembley. And it must have sounded so pathetic because I was so nervous. Anyway, I introduced Def Leppard, luckily, and it went well. And then I was pitch side for the rest of the game, just like chatting to celebrity fans that were there from different sports and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure Harry Kane was there that day. And that's how it began, really. And my family, for years afterwards, every time we all met up, they just go, hello, Wembley. It was I died. Anyway, so I started doing the pitch side stuff for Sky. Then I had a fantasy football show with Adam Rank. Mm. So he used to like call in from LA. And then one day I went over to Vegas and I was presenting the Moscone Cup, which is nine ball pool, which I'll forgive you if you don't know, you have never heard of.
Nine balls and pool?
Yes, with that particular format. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I did every sport known to man that was a niche sport. So I did bowling, I did ping pong, speedway, darts, even though darts is huge now.
Massive.
Yeah, but at the time, I just did everything they give me because I wanted to learn the job. And I took it all really seriously and I did it all well, but NFL was the one that stuck for a really long time. And I went over to Vegas to cover nine ball pool, and Adam was like, why don't you come into LA, just get a quick flight over. I didn't realize how close it was. Quick flight over, come onto our show. And I literally went onto the NFL network. And I did a show with them. And then after, it was only when I got in a taxi back home, I was like, wow, that was more than I thought I was going to be doing. They went, why don't you do the link to the break? There's the auto cue. So I did it, and it was great, but I loved it. So yeah, there's a very special place and a very kind of historic place in my heart for American football.
Wow,
that is crazy. You said something really interesting that I don't think a lot of people might know about you, is where you started.
Yeah.
You were a runner, like you work. Yeah. In this age of social media, right, where everything is quick and everything, everybody expects things to be. I'm talking to my son now. My son is 14. He thinks he's going to the NBA. I'm like, bro, like the amount of work you have to do, you're nowhere near it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like the amount of stuff that you've had to do to get to the place where you are now has been incredible. Could you talk a little bit about that? Like when you were coming up, did you ever feel like this was where you would be right now?
No, because I think when I started in TV, I actually wanted to go into print journalism. So I wanted to work in newspapers and magazines and stuff like that. And I wanted to write. And then I did work experience at a newspaper and it was boring. Mm. And I hated it. And I was like, wow, I've done 3 years at university for a job that actually I don't like. I don't want to do this. And then I got a week's work experience with Sky. And while I was at uni, I was writing match reports for like our football and our rugby team. And I just thought, broadcast was always in the back of my head as an either or option. So I got work experience at Sky on Soccer AM and I loved it. And I just thought this is the best thing. And I always describe it as the newspaper work experience was black and white. And then Sky was like color. It was amazing. I walked in and I was like, this is great. And I just wanted to be there. So I would always do everything they asked me with so much enthusiasm because I just felt lucky to be there. So can you go and make coffees for the presenters? I'd be like, yeah. And then I'd go and make coffees, really bad ones though. And I'd run it back and then I'd chat to the presenters. And then they'd get me to, used to do this thing called logging. And logging was literally logging each play of a game. Or each anything in the game. Like if it was football, like the cards, the corners, the goals, anything like that would happen. And I used to log Speedway. And all these bikes do, no offense to Speedway fans, the bikes go round the laps four times. So you go out there, round the track four times, right? That's it. And pretty much anyone that makes a good start is going to win that race. Mm. Domestic Speedway. Not like when you get to Grand Prix, it's different. It's really competitive. Domestic Speedway is pretty much, if you make a good start, you're going to win that race. So I was logging this. And I logged it. And I remember I wanted to get to the end of a show. And my boss was like, you need to go home. And I was like, no, I want to finish the show. And he was like, listen, Laura, we're never going to use these logs, okay? I'm just telling you. We're just doing this so you get used to it. And I was like, I still want to finish it because I wanted to get to the end. And I always remember that moment because I just thought I had so much passion for it. And then every other job that I had as I kind of went up the ladder was you'd start to learn how to cut things. So you'd go out with a cameraman, you'd plan the shoot, you'd produce the shoot like this, like you guys are going to be sat here, I'm going to be here, this kind of stuff. Here's the editorial, here are the questions that I've prepared. And I loved it. And then any time I got to do anything to do with interviewing, it was always behind the camera. So on darts, for example.
Which you're a legend at. I've seen you in action.
It's like one of my favorite things. They're funny. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know where that came from. But it would be, does someone want to go interview the players? And no one wanted to do it. And I was like, yes, every year I want to do that. That's my thing. And I'd learn just different techniques about how to get the best out of somebody. And I took it really seriously because I thought in the back of my head, if I keep doing this, one day I will get there. But it took years, years and years and years. But all that experience was great because you just learn how to interact with people and you're like, oh, this person's a bit more quiet or a little bit more of a closed book. Here's a different technique, let's try this way and then maybe I'll get more of them like that. And yeah, it all just started to come together, but it took ages, ages.
Fascinating. Just like you said, nobody sees the grind.
No.
But I would say the conversations OC and I have had in the past, that is where we like to dive deep in. Mm. To understand the essence of a person, how they develop these skills, why they develop these skills. You said something earlier about coming out of uni and writing, right?
Yeah.
And I watch you as a broadcaster. I watch you just command everything as smooth. But now it makes sense because you can write.
Yeah, it's logical in your head. The way that I think about things, when I first saw a running order in TV, it was the most confusing thing I'd ever seen in my life, right? So boxes, and in the middle of each box, here's what this item is. It has a duration and it has a number on it. And then you'd have these running orders and then they'd get ripped up five minutes before the show. You know, like in football especially, we'll plan something in football, as in soccer, we'll plan a whole show. This is the one to watch. That's the star of the show. Then we turn up. Oh, he's not on the bench. He's not in the squad. He's injured. Everything gets torn up. You change it immediately. So you learn to be really on the fly with things anyway. So then everything else, once you learn how a running order works, your brain becomes a bit more logical like that. Everything goes in blocks. Mm. So then when you go from TV to radio, it's all kind of the same anyway. Everything's in blocks. And I had to teach my brain how to work like that because I always used to think I was dyslexic. Like the first time, oh, this is dreadful. The first time I got a chance to do a Sky Sports new screen test was the first time I realized I cannot read an auto cue. Mm. Like not live, as in live on air, but in front of a whole room of people, producers that were like, oh, she's charismatic. She's going to be great at this. Like, let's keep an eye on her. I didn't hear from a single one of them after that. I did this screen test, and honestly, it was the most painful thing I've ever experienced. And I got halfway through, and I was thinking, shall I leave? I couldn't get to the end of a sentence. And then gradually, as I got older, that ruined me for about 2 years. My confidence was gone. I didn't know another way to get into presenting because that was all I knew. That was all I thought. That was the only way I thought you could get into presenting. And then gradually I was kind of like, no, I think you can do it a different way. And I started taking darts players after their games, filming them, and then making a YouTube show with it. And then I'd say to my boss, look, if you like it, Sky can use it on the YouTube channel. If you don't, can I just have it for myself? Because it's good practice. So I would cut the things together myself. I'd voice over. I'd plan it all. And again, it was that editorial judgment that really goes a long way in TV. You can really help with that. And then gradually, as I got more confident, I realized I don't think I'm dyslexic. I think it was all just confidence. And I think it was like the whole, you know, if you've never sat in a studio before with cameras everywhere and someone in your ear, and you've got to do this job, but then you've also got to think about timings and what these people want you to do, you're like, wow, that's actually a lot. It's a lot for anyone. Mm. It's a lot for an experienced presenter. It was the wrong time, the wrong place, and it was the wrong job. I was never going to be a newsreader. It's not my personality. I'm not good at it. So it was a good lesson, but if anyone wanted to be a presenter and that's the first thing they do and it didn't work out, I would just say you're going to have a lot more moments like that where you think you're really bad because you're presenting at the beginning, you're always really bad.
Yeah, I know about that.
Right?
I find that fascinating. I find that really, really interesting. I think also in contrast, I don't prepare at all.
That's because you've got talent already. You don't need to.
You see my problem?
Yes, I do now.
I'm
now
like,
I get it.
What are we doing? I was just like,
don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Is it always all right? Yeah, don't worry about
no,
it.
No, but I found that it works best when you have somebody who does prepare and somebody else who really doesn't. So you kind of like,
you know what I mean?
You mesh. It has like a more... You know,
it's organic.
It's more organic that way. If both of us were prepared, then we'd both be like this. But now you come in, you prepare.
Yeah.
You're prepared, and you just never know what I'm going to do. Right?
So
anything can happen. Anything can happen at any moment.
That's the magic, though.
Right.
We're doing the Super Bowl 1 year and breaking everything down, and it's Tom Brady wins, and all of a sudden, OC's silent for a while. I'm talking, breaking stuff down. And then he goes on this monologue about what Tom Brady has done and what he means to the sport. And it was the money of the show.
Wow.
I look at him, and I'm looking at him. He's just like this. I'm like, are you here? And all of a sudden, he just breaks into it straight down the lens.
Whoa.
And I'm like, you are in the moment.
But do you know how, and this is why, the NFL and the broadcasters will know how valuable, not just you, OC, but the two of you together are, because I've noticed that for years. And I know that dynamic between you, how that works. But people don't understand how difficult it is to deliver something to a camera without having notes in front of you and deliver it fluidly. And usually the way the best stuff works is when it's completely from the heart. Because you don't need any prompts. You know what you're going to say, and you know your subject matter. So just let them go. And that's actually to mix the talent. And you do have talent, Jason, to be in the NFL, full stop, and to play till what, 30? You were 30?
Yeah, I was 30.
Yeah,
that's a long
career. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have a thick head of hair, too. I mean, yours is great. Sorry, I see. Yeah, that's great. But to have, like, to have talent and to have a career in football and then to be great broadcasters is gold dust. Not everyone that has talent to play any sport can have the communication skills to work on TV or radio or podcast or whatever. It's like, it's great.
Like most of the Premier League players. Horrible. Horrible.
You said that, not me. Horrible. You said that.
But you being a part of this, OC is just wide open right now. The magic is here.
Horrible.
I will say something.
They're horrible.
I like how you waited until those two ex-Premier League players left the room before you said that.
OC's now scared of the violence.
No.
But they're actually horrible.
I saw OC challenge a professional boxer one time we were interviewing.
What?
Yeah.
To what?
It happened. It was the guy.
You called him out?
No. That's not what happened, man.
What happened?
We were in the ring.
Okay.
We were talking to his son.
Uh-huh. Right.
And all of a sudden, we hear somebody walking in. What was he saying? He was saying something crazy.
He was like, who said we're not starting on time? We're not going to say any names. And OC said, me. And he says, I hope you can fight. And OC said, I can. I said, oh my goodness.
Wait, so
things got quiet after
it
that.
It got real quiet.
Was this before you filmed?
Before we filmed.
Before we filmed.
Wow, yeah. That set the agenda.
We were cool after that.
Everything was cool.
It was cool.
Really?
I was scared, but we were cool.
Is this how guys work? Do you just like sort of flex your muscles a little bit and puff your chest and then one of you backs down?
I think that's actually how things,
the mathematical logic is.
Did I just figure men out?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how we used to work.
Yeah,
that's
that
how
is.
We, used to work.
Yeah. we don't act like that.
Yeah, not all the time.
But when we see that, we respond.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody run up on you, Laura. They're going to have a problem.
A big problem. And then,
instantly.
You know, we're the NFL, we're here, we're kind of a niche sport.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't let nobody bully you. You got to stand your ground here. In America, we
won't
have to talk. We don't even have to say nothing in America. But here, we got to make sure that people know that
yes.
we're here. Yeah.
Do you know what, though? It does the sport a lot of favors. The fact that you're American anyway means that what is the difference? I don't understand this. There's a big difference between English people and American people in that you guys seem to just be born eloquent. What is that? Is that education out there? I don't know what it is.
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what I think it is. I think that overall, when you hear British people speaking, they sound more eloquent. They sound more, you know, like, you know,
Their word choice.
But then once it comes to sport, right? Like, for instance, Jason's a college graduate. I graduated from college. Like, the NFL, in order for you to make it to the NFL, you have to go through college, right? For the most part.
At least a couple of days.
Yeah, you got to go to school.
Just turn up.
Yeah. Right? And so by osmosis, we kind of naturally can just...
That's actually...
Because we went to school. And then, you know, the Premier League guys or the guys who they've been in the academy since they were five, most of them, right? So they don't get that high level of education that we have.
You're so correct, because I was speaking to someone the other day and he was saying, look, when I was going into secondary school, when I would have been that age, I was taken out of regular school.
That's crazy.
And I was put into my club full time and I had a tutor. So I'm like, on your own? And he's like, yeah. So his social skills was struggling, and his education. I hope he doesn't listen to this, because I've just said his social skills struggle. Yeah. But they do, though, because you're not in that environment, and you're in a different kind of environment. So he was playing and training with players that are a lot older than him. So that's different, too. You've not got, like, your mates next to you.
You really don't have your peers.
Yeah. You know, it's like a different vibe, completely.
You have to. The thing about college sports that's unique is, yes, you are on the team, you have all those players, but then you have the school as a whole.
Yeah.
So you have that life, and you get those friends that follow you through life, as you know, coming from university, and you miss out on that when you don't have that experience. And I think it's really important for your personal growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, shout out to the NFL for that.
Yep.
You know, that little tidbit. They didn't do it through the goodness of their heart, just so you know. They were like, you know, we're going to make sure all these guys go to school because it's the right. No. It's a money making machine. But still, at the end of the day,
it works.
I got another question.
What you got for us, Jay?
I'm going to throw it, Laura, because I really want to understand this. You talked about the history of how you got in here, all the steps. It's very fascinating how you've learned the business. For me, going through the same thing, getting involved, learning from the ground up, I always had OC.
Mm.
And it's a lot of times where I was really nervous, didn't understand, wanted confirmation.
Yeah.
And it was, all I had to do was this, Laura. Mm. And literally OC, and live TV, you know, did I say it right? And he the way he'd look at me, it was like, you know, be yourself or step it up. You've went through this whole process. Who did you have? Were you alone? Mm. Who did you mimic? Who did you watch? Like,
yeah. Well, I always remember there was one producer, and it was after I did that screen test, right? This guy's supposed to do a screen test. And I said, can I have some feedback? Because you don't naturally get it unless you ask. And I got really good at Sky at breaking doors down because people weren't going to go to you and say, do you want this opportunity? Do you want some feedback? Like, when you're a runner or you're a junior, problem is you go to Sky and they go, what do you want to be? And you go, presenter. And they go, everyone wants to be a presenter. Mm. You know, like, oh, I want to be a presenter. It's that kind of, people think that's what like you want to be. And I was like, well, no, I went to uni and I studied journalism and someone's got to do it. So one of us from this generation is going to be a presenter, right? Why can't it be me? And that's, and I had that in my head. And I always remember this one producer said to me after the screen test, I was like, can you give me some feedback? And it was obviously dreadful. And I knew that. And he went, look, go and watch the other presenters on Sky Sports News, do what they do, that'll help you along the way. And I turned it on and I was like, no. Like, and I know now that it's about personality. For me, it's about personality, right? So the only thing you can do really well is your own voice. And I remember, like, if I go back and watch, and I don't ever want to do it, trust me, if I go back and watch some of those earlier shifts that I did as a presenter, my voice will be different. And the only time I got really good at it was Facebook got a contract with Sky, and they had to do 10-minute, we did 10-minute live Facebook. Do you remember when it was like everyone was doing Facebook Lives? It would pop up on your, you're like, oh, not another Facebook Live. Like, who is it this time? It's me, I'm shopping. Like, stuff like that. It would just be your mate down the park or something. And I remember we had to do one every day. We went out to the Euros 2016 in France. It was wicked. And some of these days we didn't have games to talk about because it got to the knockout stages and they were like 3-4 days in between games. And we just used to have to chat. And there was one day that we were deeply hungover. And we'd rented this Airbnb in France. And we stayed up all night drinking rum and playing hide and seek in someone's house,
life.
Right?
What a life.
Hide and seek, mid-20s, right? One of the guys hid in a kid's room's cupboard and he sat on an Airfix model and the whole thing cracked, right? Just destroyed this Airfix model. I was between somebody's mattress and the bed frame. And that was a really excellent hiding place. Let me tell you, and it took a long time for anyone to find me. Anyway.
This is dark.
It was dark, yeah. Anyway, so the next day we had to do a Facebook Live and I didn't know what my name was. And I was like, oh, I'm really struggling here, and it was hot outside. So we just did this thing, bearing in mind it's the European Championships, got nothing to do like anywhere else in the world apart from Europe. We decided to do a Messi-Ronaldo debate, right? Mm. Messi and Ronaldo, so like Messi's not even like in this competition, but what we noticed was in this conversation that we were just having is all of these things were popping up, all these questions, everyone wants to comment on Messi and Ronaldo, right? Biggest debate in football at the time. And it went on for years, that debate, still is. Anyway,
after
I kind
the
of...
story, we're gonna have this debate, just so you know.
Not again. We ended up reading out all of these questions, and then it got to the 10 minutes, and we had to go. And I was like, wow, I didn't even think about that. I was so hungover. There was no script. We just decided to go for it. And when you're a little bit hungover from the night before, you lose your inhibitions. I'm not saying the advice is go and get drunk and broadcast.
I
am saying is that losing your inhibitions and taking yourself off a script, like your mind's gone with all of these questions that are coming in and you're trying to engage with people that are watching, it just made me forget about the person I was trying to be. And I became just the person I am, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And honestly, after that tournament, everything changed in my career, everything. And people were like, you're really natural on camera, aren't you? And I was like, I am now, I wasn't before. You just have to like get over that line of like embarrassment that you're in front of a camera and just be like, ah, just relax.
That's amazing, and that's why this union,
it's gonna work well.
It's gonna be epic because we have two people that aren't scared. The other one is, yeah. But I'll follow along.
I know this whole thing you've just basically said, you're gonna carry the load and that's why the union's gonna work. And I'm fine with it. I know what I've got myself into, but I'm excited.
This is gonna be great. And I think this conversation is gonna be off camera.
Epic.
You know, what's with Messi and Ronaldo?
You're
going to continue that later?
You got Messi over Ronaldo.
Yeah.
How?
And that is exactly.
No.
Ladies
you
and
gotta
gentlemen.
You got to explain yourself.
I think Messi carries teams. And Ronaldo does carry teams, don't get me wrong. But there's something about Messi and the way that he plays football that I adore. Mm. I love Ronaldo, but Messi has gone for longer, more successful. I just...
How has Messi been more successful?
More Ballon d'Ors.
Okay, but he's done that in Barcelona. He's done nothing outside of Barcelona.
Yeah, but that's, where else? But that's because internationally, yeah, like he is carrying that team.
Correct.
If he was in a better team, he would be more successful internationally.
So overall, you think that because Messi has been at Barcelona and he has dominated a Barcelona team that has been fantastic for 50, 60 years, that he is now better than Ronaldo, who every single place that he's gone, everywhere that he's gone, he's won.
But look at where he's gone.
Okay.
What you're saying about Ronaldo and about Messi, Ronaldo was in one of the best Real Madrid teams I've ever seen.
Correct.
One of the best teams in the world, or the best coaches.
Correct.
Juventus, everywhere he's gone, apart from now when he's at Manchester United, and yes, he's very old now in comparison. Apologies, I'm saying that you guys are very old as
she
well.
She just pointed at me when she said,
I did look straight at Jason.
In my eye.
But I felt all right. But personally, there is something about Messi I just like more than Ronaldo. Don't get me wrong, if we flip now and you said argue for Ronaldo, I could also do that. So that's why I think it comes down to a personal preference.
Oh, so you're a politician, basically.
I am a politician.
So that's exactly what's going on.
Presenters are politicians.
Correct.
Trust me, we are. That's why you can flip the narrative to anything, because you have to be able to challenge somebody. Why do you think Ronaldo then?
I mean, to me, when I look at Ronaldo, when I look at Messi, Messi is a natural born footballer.
Yeah.
Like he was born to play the game. He's just talented. The way Ronaldo has worked his way up and the things that this man has had to do, the way he's had to build himself. Like, I don't think anybody could be Messi. I think there's only maybe like two or three people on planet Earth who could be Messi. But I think a lot of people could be Ronaldo if they dedicated themselves and they worked as hard as this man did. And he's done it in every single level that he's been on. And for me, the ability to work your way into doing something as opposed to just being born and gifted with something, similar to you. Like for now, there's some people who are just naturally, you say they're just natural born presenters, but you had to work your way through and now you're the best presenter of them all. Oh, see, I rate that more.
And he called me the politician. That was very good.
I'm just saying.
But I think what you said there is right. I think when people look at Messi, it is a real natural gift that he's born with, and the way he can like control the ball and dribble the ball and it's attached to his foot like glue, that is special and a real talent. And you're right with what Ronaldo's done. And if you read about Ronaldo's early childhood, taken away from his family, like in that environment that we spoke about earlier on, where everything for him was football, and you're right, it bred this utter winning machine. See, now I'm like, now I flip.
Understand a little bit. Yeah.
But I get it. But from a sports person, I understand that you get what he's done. Yeah. Look, this is the problem with the Messi and Ronaldo debate.
There's no real answer.
There isn't an answer, is there? They're different players. They're completely different players as well. That's the thing.
I can't wait for this season.
It's going to be good, isn't it?
It's going to be some great conversations. That's it for the Jason Nelson podcast.
Already?
That's it, man. We gotta go. Oh, man, Lauren's wanted. We got to get out of here.
Oh, man.
I've got to go do some media. Do you guys get to go home now? Have you got to come to media?
No, we
got to
work with you.
Okay, let's do it. Come on.
So this is, I almost had a baby alligator tear a second ago because I'm just so excited. And even listening to this conversation, I understand we're going to have some great debates, some great opinions. Man,
we're going to get kicked off the show.
Yeah. I need this job for my visa.
No, you'll be fine.
I need this.
You'll be fine, Jason.
Okay, cool.
But I have to find a way to get us kicked off. That's my whole goal.
I can help with that.
Yeah.
That's the season's ambitions.
We almost got kicked off. Simon was like, let's put Laura in the middle. I said, oh, no.
Oh, no.
You've done very well there. You've done us all a favor. It was almost over before it began. Wow.
I won't go over too well. You could be part of my government. Baby, oh, cool. You know, say money, no problem. The way that she dance, I feel I'm bad. Why you they do me like that? The way that she move, I feel I'm black. Why you they do me like that? The way that she dance, I feel I'm bad. Why you they do me like that? The way that she move, I feel I'm black. Why you they do me like that?